You're listening to your NBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Kane, I'm watching the Bucks and Nets. Jesus, you wish.
What?
The Bucks and Nets. I'm watching the Bucks and Celtics. And he said, no, we need to record. We need to record now. What's on your mind? What can't wait?
This is just a pregame to the storyline-driven TV show you like to watch called The Press Conference.
I'm not sure if I've got the stomach to watch this one. I want the Bucks to win, and they're getting their asses kicked. Yeah, game six right now at home.
Yeah, yes.
But you can't wait. There's something on your mind.
Yeah, I guess so, yes. What is it?
It's Kyrie's studio. It's Sean Marks. What is it?
No, I wasn't planning to talk about that, to be honest. I was going to talk about the Heat and Sixers.
Oh, God. Heat and Sixers.
Let's just get your agenda over and done with first.
My agenda? What's my agenda?
Yeah, you clearly have an agenda. You want to badmouth Kyrie.
I don't want to badmouth Kyrie. I just want to hear from you.
Just get over done with. I don't have an opinion. I want the offseason to play out as is.
Nike has an opinion. I want to talk about this news I read today. It sounds like Nike is not going to renew Kyrie's shoe deal. It sounds like they're going to discontinue the Kyrie shoe line. What do you make of this?
As an objective fan, I would say it makes sense because they're probably clearing room and clearing resources to put focus into the other signature shoes that are on the horizon, such as Ja Morant, such as Jason Tatum, you know, other superstars. I don't know who Jason Tatum's signed with, but other superstar players are going to need the Kyrie designers to work on their shoe deals. So Ja Morant would come to mind, or Zion was Jordan, I think. But you get my point. You get my drift here. Kyrie's last signature shoe, obviously during the pandemic, during when he was being a martyr, as we know. He didn't get the publicity. Didn't get the right publicity to talk and market the latest signature shoe, and that probably sat with Nike the wrong way. Like Nike is like, you know, you're our customer. You know, at the end of the day, we own you, and you have to promote the shoe in the right way, in the right message. And we're not here to promote anti-vax theories and, you know, like things that Kyrie is trying to prioritize. Like, that's not what we're about. We're about selling and making shoes and, you know, you playing basketball. And Kyrie didn't do any of those things. So I think it's obviously, this is just a rumor and this is just like a threat. If you continue to go about your ways and try to unprioritize basketball and selling Nike shoes, then, you know, we're going to move on from you. Having said that, I don't think Kyrie is that upset. Like, he would get the same deal, not with Nike, with another shoe manufacturer. And at the same time, like, if you look at Kyrie's shoes compared to, like, LeBron's or, like, Giannis's or Kobe's, he sells his shoes for way less money than the other signature shoes. And they're like, and he's been like, what is he up to? He's like up to 6 or 7 signature shoes at this point. So he deserves like a lot of credit that during his entire line, he's been making very affordable shoes, which is very important, you know, for people that, you know, they can't afford like the premium LeBron shoes or the premium Jordan shoes or Kobe shoes, that they're able to afford Kyrie shoes, which in the past he's put in a lot of effort to help design. So, you know, we know he's a martyr. We know he helps the less fortunate. We knew in the past, during the pandemic and the bubble, he donated large millions of dollars of his own money to the WNBA to help them prop up their salaries, something Kobe was always very, we know Kobe supported the WNBA and he was a big ambassador for the women's basketball game. Oh, Derek Wright just stole the ball from Giannis. And, you know, so, I'm liking all these things for Kyrie. And if he continues this martyrdom, then, you know, let him join a shoe company that supports his martyrdom and his values and what he wants to do. So, like, from Kyrie's point of view, from Kyrie's camp, it's probably no loss to him. You know, if Nike doesn't support what he wants to do, then and fuck Nike. You know, he's going to join a company that supports his values.
look, I see what you did there, Kane. That's a savvy move. You went immediately to the philanthropic side of Kyrie, and I can't argue there. It is true that I do respect the fact that these are affordable shoes. This is a big deal. And like you said, he was very generous during the lockdown and also donating a lot of money to the WNBA.
His own money, too.
And also, I think there's some story about housing as well that wasn't covered in the media because he kept it in the down low. So nothing to argue there. But I think this is a significant move and signal from Nike. Of course, having your own shoe deal is a privilege. Not just a shoe deal, a signature shoe with Nike is a privilege. And the fact that Nike is moving away, I'm not sure what kind of signal this is sending. Are they worried that Kyrie is out of a large market and going to be end up in Sacramento or somewhere?
I mean, he had the shoe deal in Cleveland, and Cleveland wasn't some huge market. I think the other thing to mention is Kyrie has always been against the machine, the man, the big conglomerate. And for a long time, Nike was the underdog, you know? For a long time before Jordan, Nike was the underdog. And Nike was the one all about player empowerment. And letting the signature shoe deal is all about letting the personality of that athlete shine through. None more important than Jordan and Kobe and, like, I guess, you know, even to a lesser extent, LeBron, letting them put the personality and values on the sneaker itself. Equality. That's what LeBron had on a lot of his shoes. Equality written on the back. Of course, including their own personal mark as well to promote to endorse the signature of the shoe. But I think the important thing is Kyrie has always inputted those things into his shoes. And it seemed quirky. He had the pyramid, he had the eye, all-seeing eye. He had the Hana stuff on his hands. I forgot what they're called, but like those kind of motifs and patterns on his shoe as well. So, you know, it's a huge departure from a lot of players, from other players, because it spoke to Kyrie's personality. And now that, of course, we're getting into very controversial territory, Kyrie is anti-vaxxer, he's a flat earther, he supports very non-mainstream values that are counter to what Nike wants to do. Now Nike is looking to run away. And I think if I was Kyrie, I'm not saying like I'm a huge Kyrie stan at this point, like I don't support those values. But if I was Kyrie, I would just, and he's already done everything he can to damage his PR. Like his PR team is obviously not supportive of this, but at the end of the day, they're riding with Kyrie. And if Nike isn't going to ride with Kyrie, I'm sure Kyrie is like, then fuck them. I'm going to join. Like, there's no shortage of companies that are going to endorse Kyrie, I think. Like, and maybe they're not the mainstream. There might be more alternative companies, but he's still going to get his money at the end of the day because he's 29 years old. He's playing with Kevin Durant. He's playing in Brooklyn. I mean, we can talk about the next part of this, which is obviously what Sean Marks said and his potentially questionable future with the Nets. But I mean, I don't think that's going to happen either. So I think he's staying in Brooklyn, and I think he's going to stay marketable. And if Nike doesn't want him, then I think it's their loss. Because clearly, he's also one of the high-selling shoes as well. He has one of the high-selling shoes as well. It's not like he's Paul George or Giannis. Like, those shoes aren't doing as well as LeBron and Kyrie's shoe that constantly does quite well.
Look, you got me in a corner here, I have to admit. What you said is very rational, and I think you are correct. I try to attack Kyrie in a very sneaky way, but you caught me. You got me there.
Just remember when Magic, back in the day when Magic was, like, and everything was seeing the show, Converse was trying to get Magic Johnson and Larry Bird on the deals. And of course they were successful because they were the big player back in the day, and Nike promoted their shoe to Magic saying, look, we'll put Magic on the back. And Magic liked that. Magic liked Nike's vision, but ultimately he went with a bigger deal with more money at that time. He went with Converse, and that was a big regret, obviously, at the end of the day. But Converse wanted them to wear their shoe. They just wanted him to wear the brand of Converse. That's it. They weren't willing to give lean any way to let Magic have his personality. Just wear Converse shoes, wear the star, and just deal with it. Nike has always been about player empowerment. So the fact that now they're trying to you know, go away from that just because he has some controversial issues, I think that might be to their detriment. And we and Nike is no, like, I mean, they're business at the end of the day, so they can do what they want to that they think is going to affect the, like, only going to affect their stakeholders positively. But let's not forget, this is also a company that signed Colin Kaepernick during their during his controversial you know, foray in, like, trying to sue the NFL. They signed Colin Kaepernick to some sort of multi-year deal, endorsing him when he wasn't even playing for any team anymore. They're just endorsing the play himself.
It's a little bit different, I think.
So they're happy to take on those controversy. Huh, sorry?
It's a different type of controversy, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
One standing for Black Lives Matter, which I support. The other is anti-vax, which you support. So a little bit different.
Yes, obviously.
Okay, Kane. I don't want to pry into your personal life anymore. I wanted to ask you about if you watched Sean Marks' presser, but no. Yesterday you said you haven't. I'm assuming that you're saving it for for later. So I don't know why.
I still haven't. No, I don't want to watch it. I think it'll be too roofy. And as I've heard from multiple readings of different articles, and I try not to read the articles fully, right, but I think it's just too revealing. And we know Sean Marks is a very candid fellow, as you've attested to early when we were working together. You listened to an exclusive interview with him and Woj, was it? Back then, Sean Marks had a vision for how this team's culture was how he anticipated the team's culture. And it started with the coach, started with getting Kenny Atkinson on board, started with getting the right players on board, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, as I mentioned. And it meant that he had a vision of how he could propel this team from Jeremy Lin, which, you know, let's be honest, he's no franchise cornerstone. He's a good player, and his prime, he was, you know, borderline all-star, but he's no cornerstone. He's a role player at best. And turning that into a championship contender. And that meant flipping the players, getting guys on the cheap like D'Lo and Caris LeVert, and flipping them for superstars. And in the time of the trades, he flipped D'Lo for Kevin Durant, and he flipped Caris LeVert for James Harden. And no one can, you can even go back now and you would still make those deals, because who would know, like, how James Harden would, you know, develop, like, you know, when he would decline. And of course, you know, who knew how Kevin Durant would, you know, deal with, you know, bringing Kyrie Irving and whatever the issues are. Like, you at that time, anyone would have made those deals. It's a no-brainer. And I think he did mention that this is the first year in his under his watch that this team has gone backwards. He did not make the right signings. The team clearly didn't take the next step.
He wasn't mincing words. He was very as clear as can be expected without naming names and disrespecting people.
Ooh.
Which is what I always appreciated about Sean Marks. But I mean, I think one thing is clear, that is that Nash is staying. Nash was literally beside him during the press conference. And plus what KD said.
He was called management.
Which again, look, I don't, maybe we shouldn't get into this. I don't want to, I know you're still recovering from that. Well, we won't say what happened a couple weeks ago with the Nets, but I guess my overall takeaway is this, is that the Nets are in a pretty tough situation, tougher than what's had been over the past two seasons. Now it's a bit more unclear, but saying that, my overall takeaway is I still like where the Nets are because I trust Sean Marks. I like that management there. I know you don't rate Josiah. I don't know why. I think you've got some inner demons with the Chinese culture. I don't know. I like the owner, okay, and I like the front office. So I think with management in place, with KD, I think I'm still feeling good about this organization.
I obviously agree. And also, taking the proactive steps to get Ben Simmons back on the court is extremely important. And Joe Harris, of course, they're important players. So there's just a lot of question marks. You can't just pin it on what is going to happen to Kyrie, because that has so much impact. There's so many ways. Like, it might not be new players, but how do they get these guys on the same page and make sure that they continue being impactful players going into 2022-23 season? it's going to be so important. And that's what management is like, towing this fine line, like kind of telling them off, like we did not meet the expectations that we had from an owner and from management. But this team is good enough to contend for the title, and we need these guys on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, you can get the fuck out. That's the kind of message that I sort of read about what Schomach said. And
that's exactly the message. Yeah, that's very accurate. That's
I guess
exactly
I'm happy with that, but we need to see what the next steps are. And there's no point talking about it because the next step is Kyrie committing. You know, it is Ben Simmons committing. You know, it's those star players. Obviously, we know Kevin Durant's in it. He's part of this organization. We know he's part of management, basically.
But okay, let me add a nuance to that. You said, you know, get in line or get the fuck out, right? That's the
yeah.
But I'm saying that applies to everyone on that roster, including KD now.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we know. Okay, fair enough.
It's like we want KD. We want you. You're the, you know, you're one of the greatest players right now in the league. But we can't have a repeat of last season. So if you want to tarnish your reputation by putting us through this, then we're gonna trade you.
I don't think. Yeah, I think it's more like I kind of agree with you, but it's more that KD has to reverberate that message to the other players because they won't listen to Sai and Marks the same way they listen to KD. KD is, you know, he's a two-time Finals MVP, top two player in the NBA right now. You know, like they're going to listen to him much more. So if they echo the same message that Marks was saying, like in that press conference, then they'll listen. Then it might, you know, reflect on the other players and reflect in the locker room. But KD has to be that tone setter. And I feel like he does, because Marks wouldn't say that if KD didn't kind of give him permission to say that too.
Right.
Like, I think KD is also a bit pissed off at Kyrie at the end of the day.
It's not only that KD is part of the quote-unquote management group, but he also has responsibility to be in that group. He's sharing the responsibility, essentially. You're not just sharing sort of decision-making.
His legacy. It's not just...
That's exactly it. And I think that's very smart to do. It's like, it's your legacy. You can build your legacy in Brooklyn, cemented, statue, all championship, all that. Or you can try to find happiness elsewhere, right? And chasing that happiness elsewhere, I'm not sure you're going to get a better canvas, better opportunity than with the Nets organization. Okay, so... Let's transition to this. I like where the Nets are going, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the biggest news of this week, which is the Heat beating the Sixers in six games, advancing to the conference finals, and more importantly, where does this leave the Sixers? Now, you've watched some of these games. James Harden, in his last game, he scored 11 points. He took one shot in 22 minutes of play. In the second half, in the entire second half, he took a total of two shots. He had like four turnovers. He had like four turnovers.
Didn't even try to drive into paint.
What do you make of this? What's going to happen with this team? Don't hold back. You know what James did to you.
Don't hold back.
Don't hold back. You know what he did to you. To your Nets.
It's. I saw this analogy on Reddit. I think it's the perfect analogy. But basically, the Nets handed a grenade to the Sixers and then pulled the pin out as they gave it to the Sixers. And like, okay, you deal with this now. And, you know, like, are the Sixers going to throw it away or are they going to keep it for longer and just wait until it detonates? I think the Sixers have a tough pill to swallow this offseason. Like, I think it's so interesting because James Harden, if he signs... Okay, wait. James Harden, if he signs, is going to anger people there. Embiid clearly is not vibing with James Harden. I kind of can see that. Tyrese Maxey is fucking furious with James Harden. These guys are your cornerstones, as I see it. Embiid definitely is like the MVP of the league, as far as I'm concerned.
What, one of the things you're referring to is Maxey, James Harden trying to sit beside Maxey, and Maxey just keeps moving away from him.
Yeah, like he's throwing the cushion, like. They're like kind of talking and Tyrese Maxey is like kind of blowing him off. Like, I mean, I kind of expect Tyrese Maxey to be a little bit more respectful. James Harden is one of the best players of all time in history. So like, I kind of hope that he's like 21 years old, he should be a little bit more respectful. But having said that, yes, James Harden is playing horse shit in this series, and Tyrese Maxey is doing everything he can to run as fast as he can and clank it off the backboard. I don't think Tyrese Maxey is doing anything effective. And I put that to coach too. The coach isn't doing anything enough to, like, you watch that game and they had no plays. Like, what is the game plan offensively, right?
Well, Doc said he did terrific.
Give the ball to Joel and, huh?
Doc afterwards said he did a terrific job.
Yeah, he did a terrific job. Like, he was planning for game seven. Like, he rested his starters. He was like, all right, guys, you've done enough. Let's get ready for game seven, all right? Rested his starters in the fourth quarter and said, take it easy, guys. We got another game to go.
Is Doc literally driving to Miami right now because he thinks there's, like, a game seven?
He's like, where are you guys? You're late.
Yeah, where are you guys? Why is there no team flight today? I got to get there quick. He's taking the Amtrak to Miami right now.
He's trying to call Daryl and he's getting his message bank.
No one's replying. Where's my son?
I'm with James Harden at Las Vegas. I can't pick up the call right now. Please.
Okay. Look, the Sixers are in a very tough position because they gave away a lot to get Harden. Like you said, this is a ticking time bomb. Let me ask you this. Harden can still sign the player option, right, this summer, which guarantees
I thought he couldn't, but I've read that, I thought that expired, like he couldn't sign the player option anymore, but I guess he can still opt in.
Yeah, that's what apparently. I thought too. I thought he didn't sign it and therefore he can't.
Yeah, it was too late. Mm. But I guess not.
So he's got the reporting is he's got the player option that he can still sign for, I think it's $47 million next year, which will make him, I think, the second most, he'll be tied as for the second most highest paid player next year.
How about Russ?
A little bit more than Russ, and he's tied with John Wall.
Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, John Wall is the highest paid?
No, Steph Curry is the highest paid, and then it's John Wall, Harden, assuming he signs that extension or player option, and then Russell Westbrook. Their salaries are more or less all the same. It's all around like $47 million. Which I think, again, sends a very clear message to everyone else in the league that, hey, this is what can happen, right? You get those three players are basically worthless at this point. Oh, I wouldn't put James Harden in that category yet. But John Wall and certainly Russell Westbrook, I mean, these players are not getting anything more than like mid-level exception at this point, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be out of the league for all I know. And you're putting
in... John Wall, for sure.
But... at least those players are in the last year or last 2 years of their contract. And the reverse of that is James Harden is going to be entering the beginning of a supermax contract or a max contract rather.
I mean, he's still 32, 33 years old. Like if he didn't show that clear signs of declining this year, I think Daryl Morey would probably give it to him. But I think it's so abundant that he came to a new team. He played like six games well and then just fell off the face of the earth, shooting wise. And like a lot of smart people like Tim Legler on ESPN like talk comment about how he just doesn't get the lift anymore. Like his shots are so flat that they either like rattle in or they just like smash the side of like the ring and bounce out. He used to have so much more arch and so much more lift in his shots, and he's just not doing that. It's like whether he's lazy or he's kind of lost a step. He's just not doing that as much. Like wide open threes, he was just like shooting them short.
But it's more than that. It's not about that he's missing the shots. If you take two shots or literally one shot in 22 minutes on an elimination game, that's something else, right? I'm not sure exactly what it is, but that's not.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But what I'm saying, you can kind of see like his shot is just not as smooth. Like he's trying to be smooth. When he tries to be smooth, it's short. And when he gets it in, looks like so much effort. It used to be so effortless coming out of his hands, like coming off his wrist. But now it seems like if he has a good game, he's like surprised about it. He's like cheering about it. He's like screaming when he hits a three-point shot because it hasn't worked out for him in the last year and a half. And he's not putting in the work in either, obviously. He's not training as hard. Like he's clearly put on a bit of bulk. But you're right. Like the fact that he's scared to shoot probably cements that he's passing it around. He's allowing other players to make the plays that he should be making as a potential max extension player.
Because once you pigeonhole yourself, not even pigeonhole, once you take on this role, there's no going back, right? There's no more going back to James Harden leading teams or being volume shooter, volume scorer anymore. Once you're in this role, this is going to be your future.
Especially in your mid-30s, yeah.
Once Carmelo accepted his role, there was going to be no more Carmelo leading team, taking 20 shots, 25 shots a game, right? Those days are over. And therefore, James Harden, whether you give him a max or not, those days of him being that type of high usage player, it's over. Which is not to say that he won't have the ball in his hands. I think that all the verbiage right now is about James Harden being the playmaker, a valuable playmaker, a very good playmaker, excellent playmaker. So the question for you now is this. What would you do with James Harden this summer? What's the move here?
Yeah. I mean, what's the incentive to sign a 3-year deal? You know what I mean? Like, the whole point of signing with Philly originally was to play with Daryl because Daryl respects him and they know each other and they're so-called friends. And Daryl is willing to give you the max extension. You weren't guaranteed that anywhere else. And maybe in Brooklyn, your job would be easier. So that he said, like, okay, I'm going to go to Brooklyn or Philadelphia because those are the places that give me the max deal and can afford it and would have to give it to me because, you know, we're so good with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But ultimately, he always wanted to go to Philadelphia because that's where Murray is. That's the place where it would pay him the most money because, you know, Daryl Morey, like I said, they're good friends. And he's playing with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is a great player. But if Philadelphia is only willing to give him like a 3-year deal, you know, that any team could potentially give the same deal, then what's the incentive? You're like, why don't you just join a better team? Why don't you join a team that's better suited to, I don't know, around start? Like, why don't you just go sign the minimum? Like, the mid-level extension, but like the 3-year deal form of it with the Lakers or something, you know? Maybe Lakers isn't the best example, but like, or go to Milwaukee or something. Like,
it's okay, from Sixers organizational side, what do you offer? You can't say they offer him nothing because that's reputational damage to them as
no,
well,
no,
right?
They can't offer. I'm saying that I think they have to offer him the max.
The max, shorter
I think
term.
It, yeah, I don't know the years. Like, I don't know what the years would take to keep Harden, but it would have to be some type of max, like basically some type of money that other teams can't reach.
Right, right.
Because if other teams can reach it, then what's the point? Why doesn't Harden just go sign with a team that he thinks is better suited to compete and a team that might respect his skills more? Because as much as we shit on other max players, like, you know, Russell Westbrook and John Wall as like guys that basically minimum plays and other, if it wasn't for the contract, James Harden would probably do on Detroit or something, you know what I mean? Like, if he's got no pressure, he's just going out there and bowling out and he's the man, he's getting all the ball, he's, you know, just passing it around, just doing his thing, he'll probably kill it in Detroit, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
And Detroit that. Offer him the money. But I'm just saying, if it's all about the money, just and he just wants to just play and there's none of the pressure, just go, just leave, you know? If the Sixers don't give him a deal that only the Sixers can give, I probably take it as like a little bit of an insult, you know what I mean? And if I was Sixers camp, it's like, well, why'd you trade for me then if you're not willing to take on more than just a half year? Like, why don't you see what happens at training camp? Why don't you bank on me, invest in me,
right,
and
right.
see what I can do with this team with a full offseason? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if other teams can just do it, like, why don't I just go to another team that I can feel like I will perform better in, you know? I'm coming to the Sixers under your terms at the end of the day. I mean, it's not entirely true. But basically, the Sixers trade for, it's like what Kyrie was saying. Like, Kyrie was always like, I'm always going to be, I've only ever played for teams that drafted me or traded for me. Like, going to Brooklyn was the first time ever I've had my choice. And maybe James Harden feels the same way. Maybe James Harden's like, this is the time where I am going to go to the team with my choice. I'm going to become a free agent and do the free agency thing and go to a team that actually wants, like, that I actually want to play for.
Okay, so you're saying on the Philly side, they're kind of limited.
I think you have to give more money than
you have
other
to give
teams
more
can
money.
Offer, basically. Something if that works. I don't know how that works in the CBA, but it's something of that nature, basically.
Shorter deal, alternatively a longer deal, but less money per year, like a Chris Paul type of deal. Chris Paul gave money, like right. left money on the table, but I'm not sure if. But Chris Paul did that because he can see the future, right? In other words, they're at the cusp of winning the championship. Whereas I'm not sure if that's how Harden feels about the Sixers. Like you said, there's from his perspective, there's sacrifice, right? Because he has to now play behind Embiid and obviously Maxey, who's just disrespecting him out in the open. Don't even give a shit, right? Mm. Why put yourself through that, like you said, unless you're getting a sweeter deal here? Because if it's just about the money and you don't really care about winning, then it's just an easier job if you go to Detroit or anywhere else, right? Where, you know, at least someone, the fans will appreciate you. I mean, here in Philly, like, the fans hate him already. The fans probably weren't even, like, sold on him to begin with. Now, like, they definitely hate him.
I think he's going to be like, my legacy is sealed. I don't need to win. I don't need to go and win a champ. Like, that's the narrative his team is going to push out there. Like, he's not ring chasing anymore. Like, he's earned his legacy, which I don't think is true. But he'll probably say that. And that he doesn't need to go to a winning team to prove himself. Like, his place in NBA history is cemented. I think he's just going to go where the money, like where he gets paid the most, basically.
As you know, I'm not a Harden fan. I loved the drama, Philadelphia, the drama with the Nets. And I've been hating on Harden all season long. But now that the season's over, their season's over, I have to take a step back. And I think I'm going to agree with you that Harden should leave the Sixers and go just get the money. Because I don't think it's a nice workplace environment in the Sixers organization. There's too much pressure to win now. And again, you're dealing with someone like Maxey who's just like straight out disrespecting you. Like, I don't want to work in that type of environment. Like, whether or not you still have it or not, it's like, why do you want to prove yourself at this point? You're 30-something years old. You know, I think his legacy is cemented. I think for that 5-year run in Houston or whatever it was, he was on touchable player. He was like MVP, perennial MVP, top finalist every year. Scoring champ, perennial scoring champ every year, right?
Mm.
No one's going to take that away from you. If you want to chase a ring, then go with an organization where there isn't so much expectation on you. Whereas here in Philadelphia,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like literally
go back to Oklahoma or, you know,
or go with a contender team, but go with like the Carmelo Anthony route rather than have so much pressure on you in Philadelphia. Because for Philadelphia to win the chip, they wouldn't need Houston James Harden. Playmaker James Harden is not going to do it. So in other words, you can be the perfect playmaker James Harden and you're still not going to win and they're still going to blame you.
Yeah,
because I feel like they should have signed.
Well,
you for...
he deserved the blame, to be honest. But yes, effectively, the Sixers or any team that expects him to be the second best, at least the second best player on the team, is not going to win the chip if Harden is not Houston Harden. Basically, like if you want current form Harden, then he needs to be the fourth best player on your team to win a championship.
I'm just saying it's not that I'm saying it's not his fault. It's more that I can see from Harden's perspective, don't put yourself through that. You have more options than this. It's just from a quality of life perspective, just go somewhere else where they give you the money and there's less pressure and you can just do your thing. Is he having fun? I mean, look like he's having fun in Philadelphia?
I mean, I could definitely see him going to OKC, honestly.
Okay. Okay.
Like, why not at this point? OKC... OKC resurrects his image and then like someone trades for him and then, you know, give OKC like a boatload of more picks. I think OKC thinks they win the champion, like there's some type of trophy if they get the most draft picks, right?
Well, do you think OKC will finally put up the $4 million to you to get Harden? They passed up that opportunity the first time. Was it $4 million? I think it was like $4 million. They were short. Yeah, they're like, no, can't do. Yeah. Can't sign them.
So Sixers are gone. Joel Embiid should have, in my opinion, in hindsight, should have won MVP just because I don't like Jokic being a... We can talk about that later on.
I disagree with that.
But, you know, and right now, right now we got the Celtics forcing Game 7. The other day we had the Mavericks forcing Game 7 in one of the all-time Luka games, in my opinion.
Hmm. By the time this pod comes out, we might actually know who comes out of Bucks and Celtics. I choose the Bucks. I still pick the Bucks, but whoever comes out, they're gonna fucking like spank the Heat. The Heat, like the Heat, Sixers series was terrible. The Sixers are terrible because of injury. But it's like the Heat suck. I don't know how they locked up the number one seed in the East. But clearly they can't shoot. They played like 90s basketball. It's heavily reliant on defense. But then there's no flow at all. There's no fast breaks. And they just go for like two.
They don't have
a
go-to scorer.
They have no go-to scorer. And they go through like Tyler Hero is like the only person that's like worth watching on that team.
Yeah, he's a good spot shooter. But like Jimmy Butler, he makes tough shots and he's a warrior. But you give him like a, you game plan, like you set an offensive scheme around him and he misses like the easiest shots. So he's like great in like the mess of it all. Like the ball is just like rattling around and he grabs it and he makes it like N1. Like that's what Jimmy Butler is best at. But you planning your offense around Jimmy Butler is, doesn't look great. So yeah, I agree with you. Like Tyler Hero can make shots and he's probably the best offensive, like go-to offensive player.
At this point, I'm contemplating whether or not I'd pick whoever the Bucks were, the Celtics, to sweep the Heat.
I think Spo is too good of a coach to let that happen.
Right.
I think he's going to scheme something to get them at least a couple of games. But yeah, I think whoever it is, I think it'll probably be a 6 or 7, maybe even 7, like just depending if it's the Bucks or the Bucks or the Celtics winning.
Okay, what else do we got here? Okay, so what else do you want to talk about? We can talk about the other series, playoff series, where the key free agents. Where you want to disrespect Jokic because you've been sprinkling this type of disrespect for weeks and months now around Jokic. I'm not sure where it comes from. I think it comes from your what you think about the proud country of Serbia and your. Extremely racist Australian ways when it comes to treating Serbian superstars.
I said that Jokic should win the MVP. If I analyze this season, I think Jokic does deserve it because he played more games. He was the only player on the team. He won like maybe 5 less games than Embiid. And he was more efficient while playing more games, taking more shots. So it's a pretty crazy season in terms of efficiency and advanced stats. That's what people say. But these are like nerdy things. Like this is like things that like basketball players or people that don't watch basketball say like, oh, you look at the numbers and Jokic dominates given that he had like nobody around him. No Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter for huge chunks of the season. But you can say the same thing about Joel Embiid. Like Tyrese Maxey was still developing. Harden wasn't on the team yet. Ben Simmons wasn't playing. Tobias Harris was shit in the regular season. You can say the same thing about Joel Embiid. And yes, he played less games. He was more injured. But he also was a leading scorer. The first time a center has been the leading scorer since Shaq. So you can kind of make a claim for Embiid too. And I think ultimately, since it is a media vote, the narrative now shifts to Jokic being a two-time second consecutive MVP, and that's only the 13th time that's ever happened in the history of NBA. So Jokic is joining the likes of LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. Like, come on, like, I that's amazing for a second-round player, like a player just drafted in the second round. But it kind of blows in my mind that Jokic just kind of joined this camp because I do not put him at this level at all, and now he's a bona fide Hall of Famer. Like there's no question to his resume. Like he could stop playing tomorrow and he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Well, of course, if you win back-to-back MVP, you better make the Hall of Fame. What's the point of Hall of Fame then?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. He's obviously a Hall of Famer. Like his talent level is there. But I'm just saying you compare him to other two-time consecutive MVP winners, you cannot put him in the same class as a Steph. Like what has he done? Like I know he's a regular season world, but what has he done in the postseason that warrants him in that same tier as those guys? He's won more MVPs than Kevin Durant. He's won as many MVPs as Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant. Come on.
It's the era that you play in as well, right? Like, obviously, if he's playing in the era of Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant, like during those periods, like he's not going to win. But like, should we give it to KD? You want to give it to KD this year? No. So
if KD was healthy, yeah, KD would have won. KD is probably favorite to win next season, to be honest. He's probably the betting favorite.
But if KD wasn't healthy, that's what I'm getting at, right? It's not who is the best player. Then LeBron should win it like 10 years in a row, Michael Jordan should have won it 10 years in a row. It's about availability and different players, different teams have different profiles, right? If you're resting Kawhi all the time, if you load managing LeBron, if you got KD injured, these are all realities that happen to older players, and that's why older players have harder time to win MVP. Without Jokic, what do you have on this team? You have no one, because it's not just without Jokic.
I think they get demoted to the G League.
That's no joke, because it's not like without Jokic, they have Michael Porter.
I think they're a mid-tier team in the G League without Michael Porter or Jamal Murray as well.
Aaron Gordon there, is he like injured? I think he was injured too.
Aaron Gordon. I think it was okay for the most part.
Okay. Forget the playoffs. I think they were like two games behind the Sixers. You know, that's respect. I respect Jokic and all superstars of Serbia.
Well, not all, right?
No comment.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, they didn't lose that many less games. They only lost like 3 games less. But you have to also remember, they were in a weaker conference. The Eastern Conference was much stronger than the Western Conference this year. And the Sixers having to play through that with, like I said, Joel Embiid's playing a lot of games, only played like 6 less games, but, you know, also had like, uncertainty around the players around him, and he had such a dominant season. Means that he's a clear second, like, to me. Like, he's clearly in the race. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, it's just hard for me to believe. Not harder for me to believe, but it's a flawed award, I gotta say, because usually the MVP does mean the best player. Like, we look back in the history books, we're gonna look back at Wikipedia, like the table of MVP winners, and we see the names of Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Tim Duncan, Shaq, you know, guys that have won multiple MVPs. And we're like, yeah, these guys clearly in their era, in their generation, were the, if not the best, top 3 players of that time. And you know, in the past few years, it's held true. We've had Steph Curry for multiple years, and it was Giannis, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook had historic seasons, triple double average. James Harden, I think he scored like 30, averaged like 34 points and like 60 wins that season. Like, it was an amazing year. Averaged close to triple double as well, while averaging like 33 points a game or something like that. Like, that's does amazing stats. And then I look at...
Now it's going to take him like 800 minutes to score 30 points.
Take him like 3 seasons. But now I look at what Jokic has done. I mean, what Giannis did in 2 seasons, capped it off with a finals MVP and winning a championship. That's what I want MVPs to do. I don't want MVPs getting, you know, knocked out in with 3-1 lead, and then the next season get knocked out in the first round. I know the talent level isn't there for the Nuggets, but it's just not a good look. The narrative is never going to look kindly at a 2-time winner that gets knocked out early in the playoffs. And that's why it's such a flawed award, because it looks in the regular season, it looks at availability, and looks at how the media understands that player's importance. And there's no doubt in my mind Jokic was very important to the team. Of course, he's the MVP for a reason. But I look at this in the totality of the history of the NBA, and I'm saying, Jokic, I'm sorry, but right now, at least to me, you do not belong in the same sentence as Michael Jordan or, you know, Magic Johnson.
Perhaps the solution is to have the MVP announcement, to hold off the announcement until right before the NBA
Maybe
Finals.
Maybe at least the first round?
NBA Finals. So still make it a regular season award, but just allow the people to have a little bit of recency bias, a little bit of playoff bias up until the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I think that you can have the best of both worlds, right? You can have the technicality that it's a regular season award, and you can have the benefit of a little bit of biasing, so that if you really stink it up in the playoffs, then people can still make that adjustment. So you don't have a situation where you're awarding James Harden, let's say, MVP, and then, you know, he totally like blows up in the playoffs.
Mr. O'Brien, are you there? Did you hear that?
Is he still awake?
Larry? He's always asleep. I think he should relay this to
he's always asleep in the basement, right? Where's he sleeping?
Is he in Shanghai with you?
Maybe. I'll have to check. He's in lockdown. I'll check if he's still got food there. All right, Kane.
Larry, please. We miss you.
Let's let Larry sleep.
Let him rest.
Let him rest. He needs this rest.
I mean, I just thought these were kind of cool nuggets, but I don't even know his first name. But Kleinman wins Executive of the Year.
I don't know who that is. Who's
he's
that?
Executive for the Grizzlies. But he's born in 1988. That's pretty amazing. He's a GM. He's born in 1988. I think he's younger than Steph Curry.
So this just proves that you and Kyrie could be GM, right? Sean Marks, just watch out.
Exactly. Anyone can be GM. Sean is GM one day, and the next day Kyrie can be GM. You just rotate. It's like a...
I have to tell you, one of the hardest things I have had to do this year is to, one, respect Kyrie and then keep my mouth shut, because this guy just keeps on giving. But out of respect, I'm keeping my mouth shut on Kyrie, okay?
Scott, wait. You can't just judge him on his like character flaws. You got to judge the whole package.
It's not about Kyrie, it's more about you. I feel like I'm waiting for you to come around on Kyrie. I'm just waiting for that moment to happen. Like, it hasn't happened.
There's no reason to turn around, though. Like, there's nothing. I'm saying there are flaws, but like, everyone's flawed, you know? Like, no one's perfect, right?
You're still grasping a D'Lo. You won't let him go.
What? Because he carried a little bit of marijuana or something?
No. I'm talking about the playoffs this year. I'm talking about him coming up small in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, everyone struggled. Like, Cat struggled, you know? Like, everyone has those moments. No one's perfect, okay? We have to learn to forgive people and understand that they're allowed to make mistakes and they can be better.
Spencer Dinwiddie?
He just had a big game. He just scored 5 3-pointers and led the team to a game 7.
Fine, you're right. Okay, listeners, it's been an exciting week of basketball, but all we talked about with the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving, I don't know why. This week is an important week. I want to have a message for our Australian listeners. It's an important week. The election's coming up. Let me hand it over to you, Kang, to give a message to your fellow Australians.
Election is in a week. This is in America. You have to vote and make sure your vote counts and make sure you don't vote for Scott Morrison. Make sure we save the planet. We have a guy in charge that... isn't going to fuck up, and it's important that you don't vote Liberal. So let's vote correct and come through. I don't care who you vote for, but just don't vote Liberal. That's all I care about.
All right.
Don't vote Liberal. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Try not to make it political.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.